The U.S. Supreme Court struck down the death penalty for juveniles this week. That means 72 people across the nation, all juveniles, when they committed their crimes, will be allowed to live. These former death row inmates will most likely spend the rest of their lives behind bars. In 1994, I met some juvenile lifers at the Michigan State Reformatory at Ionia. The warden at the time was Pam Withrow. She was the first female warden ever put in charge of an all-male prison. At the time, despite a surging juvenile crime rate, she didn't believe in life sentences for these particular convicts.
I get frustrated at the idea that we can solve crime problems by locking people up. I don't believe that we can do that. I think that that's a social problem. It is, we can throw the money at it by putting people in prisons and then I'll have a job for life. But I really don't think that that's the solution.
Since then, Warden Withrow, age 57, has retired, and the Michigan State Reformatory has closed. Ms. Withrow joins us from member station WKAR in East Lansing, Michigan. Thanks for being with us again.
I'm delighted. Thank you.
Well, with this week's Supreme Court decision, it is assured that there will be more young people locked up for life. Are you still opposed to life without parole for juveniles?
I still think that people can be redeemed, and I think that when you're very young, when you commit a crime, the idea that you can never, ever join society again is not a good idea.
Michigan wasn't one of the 19 states that imposed the death penalty for juveniles, but what do you think about this week's Supreme Court decision? Does it mean that somehow the country has changed in the last 11 years?
I genuinely hope so. I'm in favor of the life with no possibility of parole for adults who commit very serious crimes, but not for juveniles.
What did you see about the young juveniles who were inmates in Michigan that made you think that maybe 10 or 20 years down the line they might be different people?
Mostly I saw that they were just children. They hadn't formed adult ways of thinking and looking at the world. They simply don't understand how important and valuable life is. For them, it's a throwaway. And you really have to understand what life is before you can be held accountable.
What about the families of victims and some of the horrendous crimes that teenagers are capable of committing, certainly when it comes to homicide? I mean, there certainly must be a question of punishment.
Certainly there is a question of punishment. And I think that families have been gratified that these offenders are going to be locked up and never see the light of day again. On the other hand, some families, I tend to think those who maybe have a better understanding of what life in prison will really mean, say there should come a time that we can take another look at who these people have become. Some of the offenders that I dealt with shouldn't ever be released.
Let's hear a clip of tape from then 18-year-old Augustine Pena. When he was 15, his 21-year-old cousin killed and then dismembered a 16-year-old girl. Other things happened that we won't say on the air. After that, Augustine was doing life without parole for helping to bury her remains.
I see a lot of people in here, and you know, they realize their mistakes, and they're just totally different than what they wore, you know, when they were out there. You know, they're in here, they're working, you know, they're going to college. They're trying to better themselves. It messes me up because I'm thinking, what are you doing all this for? What are you going to school for? You know, what are you trying to get an education for when, you know, you're going to sit in here for the rest of your life? And I'm not saying that because I'm trying to be mean or anything, but it's just that it's true. Society constantly preaches about, well, we have to help the kids are falling apart, they're killing each other and all this and that, but yet they're constantly throwing us away. They're saying, we're going to lock you up for the rest of your life, but you never even had a life. I was only 15. I never even got a driver's license.
You know, I have thought about this kid a lot over the years. The crime in which his cousin involved him was absolutely grisly. He was a kind of a scary kid. Do you have any idea what's happened to him? He must be 29 or 30 now.
I really don't know.
So many of the crimes that these young people were guilty of defy logic or understanding. I'm thinking again of the last young man that we heard. What did your experience teach you about these boys and men who, at such an early age, were capable of such atrocities?
Well, I think many of them had not had good lives themselves. They had seen a lot of brutal things. They had sometimes been victims of brutality. They held life as something that was pretty cheap. And I think that one of the ways as a society we can help people not get involved in this kind of activity is to make sure that everybody understands how wonderful life is, how valuable it is, how everybody deserves to have a life, including the people that have offended.
Pam Withrow. She was the warden of the Michigan State Reformatory at Ionia. She's now retired, and the reformatory is closed. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
To hear the original report on the Michigan State Reformatory, you can go to our website at npr.org.